exploration plays, Star Wars, where science meets imagination. When you first come in through the doors, you'll come in, and pretty much greet you as you walk in is the Millennium Falcon model that they use in the actual Episode 4 or Star Wars A New Hope movie. When you are following through, when you turn, see the Kashyyyk Wookiees, and believe it or not, when you actually look at them and stand up next to them, very surprising at how tall these creatures are, the costumes itself. Right next to the Kashyyyk warriors are their weapons, and of course, as massive as they are, the weapons are just as massive. The detailing on them, exquisite. You can see the different parts that they use, see some flex cable, some of the forms that they use. You have the leather bands wrapped around the handle, very nicely done. One of the comments I'll say on these exhibit boxes, some of them have TV screens where you can actually press the start button and it will give you a description of what's in the display and actually have a video to go with it. Other display cases will not have a video screen, but they have what looks like a white oil cone where you, when you're putting oil in your car, and it's kind of see them if you have people that are having difficulty hearing, they use that to hear. But this one's for everybody because some of these boxes do not speak out loud. They go through this instrument, so you'll have to hold it to your ear to hear what is being said. The first interactive station that you come to is a three-person station. It is an environmental control type simulator. I would say probably like SimCity.
Yeah, similar to SimCity, I would say that. Interactive cards that have different things that you have to build a active city.
They have the Jawa camp, spaceport, and moisture farm. They give you a time limit to do the tiles, and you hold the tiles in front of a video monitor. 2.5 minutes to set up your city and see how good you progress along. As you continue down the hall, you get to see some of the primary hero character costumes. You have the C-3PO, the R2-D2 droids, and then you have the Princess Leia outfit from A New Hope as well. As you continue past that, you come to the robotics section, and when you first come through here, you get the hero C-3PO without the golden covering. You have a probe droid model. You have a mechanical droid or pit droid that is collapsed in its foldable mold. And then you have a Trade Federation battle droid standing upright. Very nicely done. Scoring. You get to come up here and see all the scoring, battle damage. It has to look like a oils coming through the joints, trying to keep it as realistic when they were filming as possible. The second interactive station that they have is on robots. You actually get to build a robot and decide what type of tracks it has on it. Then they have a variety of stations, up to 3 stations, where you can plug the droid into interactive menu and you navigate the obstacles to see if you built your droid properly to go through those obstacles. If not, you might have to come back and redesign the droid. The droid's roughly 6 inches to 9 inches tall, track on. It kind of has like a phone cable that attaches to it. This is one where if you're a Legos builder or Kinect type builder, you'll probably enjoy this very much.
Very close Kinect. Station in the back, programming the robot to actually complete a course after you build it as to, and there, I don't know if you mentioned, there's different types of tracks and wheels and stuff like that for the robot. So it's really cool.
And they have it set up like a dirty work table type situation where you have stains on the tabletops, like it's an actual working droid factory where you'd be putting these together and testing. When you turn around from that station, there's other interactive stations where you try to balance. And when you go on the other side, it actually has but it's one where you put together and try to balance and see if it'll stand on the incline or not. When you look around, you go over and you see the like a Teddy Cam, a Rumba's in there, and different types of robots that are in service today that you might see in a house or in maybe a garage or hospital. I don't know. Do you know where some of these other things might be at?
No, not really. The Rumba's the only one the Teddy Cam is the only one I recognize. The dog was that the iBot or something like that? And I'm not sure if that's... I don't know what the wheelchair thingy is.
I don't know if that's a power station like you would have for like in a garage or what that would be. They have kind of, it's a little unusual. We're actually going to read here. Hold on a second. Segway type of
instrument. That's what an actual Segway.
Prototype. Probably kind of like the prototype or similar to a Segway.
Yeah. Not quite a
what
Segway.
It looks like right now. Auto M robot weight loss coach.
Okay.
We could probably use it, but let's not. When you go on, you have a very nice model of the Droidicas from the prequel era. These are also more massive than what you would think they would be when you're watching the movie, when you're standing next to it. Very massive in size. We have a Robot Vision interactive station where you basically stand in front of the robot and it will look through its eyes, in quotations, and it kind of gives you what it's analyzing and the raw data, and then it has the computer screen that has the image that it would be seeing with its opticals. We go on the flip side of the Droidica, and it has a bottom half of the robot, the legs. It's basically a programmable droid where you try to make the bottom half of the robot walk. So it gives you an experience of how difficult it would be to actually build this type of a format.
I wanted to introduce you to our president. This is Jan Luth.
Hello, Jan. Got my hands full here.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Matt.
Appreciate everybody.
I'm Jan. And what was your name?
Richard.
Richard. Okay, Brooklyn. Terrific.
Appreciate you letting us come in like this.
Oh, we're happy you're here. Tell me who you're with.
I'm with Comic Pop Library.
Oh, okay.
We can record it in March.
Yeah, we can give you a card.
Yeah.
You can give her a card. I don't have any.
This is my actual card from my actual job.
Oh, okay.
You got to pay the bills.
But this is our podcast
that we do.
It's online.
And we're based out of Dodge City, Kansas.
That's where we record.
Right. We came over and visited with Linda in March. We're here with Jan Luth. She's the president of the Exploration Place. One of the things that I asked Linda and kind of ask you, was it as a daunting task as you thought it was going to be, or was it even more so than what you thought it was going to be?
It was certainly a major, major project for our institution, but we were certainly prepared and ready. We had done all of our homework and interviewed other institutions that had had this exhibition before us, so we understood what we were getting ourselves into, but it was certainly a great deal of work. It's not just the enormity of the exhibit itself, which is 10,000 square feet, but we also had to do some rearranging here at our own facility and keep ourselves operating, so all of that is what made it a lot of work, but we can tell by looking at it right now that it's all worth it.
And one of the things we kind of commented on is the exhibits aren't just going to be capturing the kids' imaginations, but the adults as well that grew up with this, like Matt and I. When the kids come in, we talked about the 501st being here. Was that an easy relationship to build, or did they come to you, or did you find them and actually have them come in to help you promote this?
The 501st are part of a very structured national group, and they have regional officers and coordinators and commanding officers. It's all very structured, and we were able to coordinate through the proper network and got in touch with them, and it was no problem at all, and they've been a dream to work with so far. We're pretty excited to have them on board. They're going to add so much to this experience, and they're very excited about the opportunity to be able to do this in their home state or nearby state, because they're not all from here in Kansas.
On the flip side, I know this is one of those draws that Linda said, you know, this is one of the last times you're going to get to do this, so we want you to push forward that, make sure people realize this is a limited time here. When it leaves here, it might not be too long before it actually gets put up into quote-unquote mothballs and you might not be able to see it again.
Yeah, the exhibit is only going to 3 more venues after Exploration Place, so that's it. It'll only be traveling for about 1 more year, and then the exhibition will end. And it's not expected to be back in the Midwest at all.
Definitely quite an honor that we were able to get it here.
Right. Well, it is an honor that we were able to get this exhibition to come here. And I think that's the wonderful track record that Exploration Place has had since 2006, bringing traveling exhibits here and bringing some of the top exhibits in the country here. So we're known as a place that can handle this and manage it and accommodate it. Our staff is fabulous and knows what to do and steps up and makes it happen. So we were fortunate to be able to receive the exhibit here.
Is there anything else? I don't want to take too much of your time because I know you're preparing for an event tonight. Is there anything else you would like to mention for anybody out there that's planning on coming to Exploration Place?
Yeah, I'd love to just say that there is a great value in your admission to come here to this exhibition, because you will get to enjoy all of the exhibits that we have here with that admission fee, as well as a brand new planetarium show in our Boeing Dome Theater and Planetarium. We have a marvelous exhibit of Star Wars posters from a local collector, original movie theater posters from both the United States and international. There's 40 posters. You'll also be able to play mini golf. We also have a park, all of that for the one price. So it's fabulous value, and I think that's a good thing for people to think about.
Well, thank you, Jan. Appreciate you taking the time for us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
Well, when you come into probably the last third of the exhibit, you hit into the medical area, what they're calling the medical area, where you have the Darth Vader suit, where it's basically a containment suit for him to be able to survive. When you look off to your left, you'll see the Jedi garb and the Yoda. When you look back around, you also see some Tusken Raider and a female Tusken Raider as well. When we came back through, we stopped and talked to Jan. We actually had some additional movie models there. The AT-ST, the AT-AT, and the clone tank. I can't remember. I want to say the AT-TP. I'm not positive on that. But you have those walkers. And then you all get into the snow exhibits where you have a Tauntaun with a rider, the radio and binoculars, Snow Trooper and the Wampa. Then you walk and you have a Stormtrooper with a Clone Trooper miniature beside it. And then you have the weapons of the universe in a case beside it as well. The blasters and the lightsabers. When you walk through towards the Tusken Raiders, you walk back through and you have more Jedi garb. Looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker's costumes from the prequel movies. Looks like Revenge of the Sith, probably. Looking at that.
Yeah, he wore black in Revenge of the Sith. It wasn't until Revenge of the Sith that he wore black. Otherwise, he wore the brown and white like Obi-Wan did up until then. So,
yeah. You turn around, you see the Anakin Skywalker from Phantom Menace with a Jawa. Got a big rifle. I didn't realize the Jawas were almost the same size as the rifle. And then you have a model of the homes, I guess you would call, in the sand crawler.
And those were the Jawas. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Sand crawler. The Jawas movable home where they sold the droids in would have been episode 4. The re-piece design, however you want to say it, this is the actual model that they, at least one of the actual models of the land speeder that Luke rode, drove in the episode 4 movie. It looks just like it's been beat. Like it's actually been used, and it is really, really cool. I'm going to get some pictures, and I don't know if there's anything else.
When you look at the pictures, it basically is just a car in a sense, basically just 3 wheels instead of 4. And they did their movie magic to get it into the movie to make it look like it was floating. Going on through, we have some of the smaller actual movie model that they used for faraway shots where they actually have mock-ups of Luke, Obi-Wan, and the droids. So these would be like shots they would take from distance shots where they wouldn't have to actually use the model, which is part of the transportation exhibit. And when you walk from there, you actually get into the...
Those? Yeah. Airships? Drones? One looks an actual look. It's a pilotable hovercopter car type thing. I was going to say they were just explaining at this how they hid the wheel. They used a giant mirror to reflect the sand back up. So
the land speeder has a video interactive session that you can watch and listen to. When you walk around, you actually get to see one of Padme's uniforms that she wore in Attack of the Clones. You come back around into the latter part of the exhibit. You have Sebulba's pod racer in a very nice display and a Trade Federation tank that models that were used within the movie. And these aren't small models. They are definitely good size models. Definitely not full size, but nothing near itty bitty type stuff either.
Yeah, not like a Lego little one you put together. I'm betting you this pod racer is every bit of 5 feet, 4.5, 5 feet long, and laid out looks very similar to what's in the movie. 2.5 feet tall cables. I mean, just laid out like it was ready to hop on and drive like you were in the movie.
And one of their interactive things they have is a hovercraft where we've had pictures of Matt and I trying to steer this little thing. It's a little harder than what you think. And also next to it, they have a multi-station for magnetic. And they have kind of like Lego pieces that have magnets on them as well that you can put together a mag lift type system. And then you have to put them in a specific order, and then you test it out on the interactive tracks that you have. When we walk back up, we will actually see some of the other models that they used within the movie. They have a Tantive, I want to say Tantive 5 or Tantive 4. Forgive me for not getting the proper ones. Oh, also on the medical side of it, they have the surgical droid, the medical droid. They have some of the arms, you know, where Luke's hand was blasted in Return of the Jedi. They have the Lobot headgear, Anakin's hand with the puppeteer strings attached to it, so you can see that it was actually a puppeteer type model, the probe droid and Grievous model. And then they have examples of modern day prosthesis that people are using to move forward in their lives and enjoy it, whether it's headgear, eye gear, definitely the hands and the legs that people are using to be mobile, especially see that during the Oh, we just walked by one of the places where you could buy Star Wars merchandise. With Matt and I here, we got to hold our hands away from our pocketbooks so we don't buy anything. They have
kidding. All kinds of little figurines, Yodas, looks like bobbleheads, plush toys, thermoses, books, T-shirts, shot glasses. Man, all kinds of lightsabers there in the back. A ton of different stuff to buy. Really cool. Really, you know, any Star Wars collector is going to love this stuff. Not just the exhibit itself, but, you know, even seeing some of the stuff they can purchase.
Or if you're like us, not be able to purchase and just drool over.
And say, I'm gonna end up with
well, at least one T-shirt, Matt says. I'm not sure what I'll end up with. And I have to admit, one of the T-shirts that they have available, my daughter was nice enough and picked one up just like that for me it was before school last year. She picked that up for me. So, ooh, what is this? Oh, they have jersey, little hoodies. It looks like a hoodie with a Rebel Alliance emblem on it. So a little bit of everything that you can come in and look at and pick up. Along the walls are images from the movies with little blurps about what the image is or what it might have represented. A lot of Ralph McQuarrie art and how he based the Darth Vader suit off of a samurai suit. A lot of people also speculate he kind of used the German helmet for the helmet piece, but when you look at the samurai suit, you can see that influence even more. On the opposite side of the Hoth displays, you actually come over and you actually see what they would wear, snow gear they would wear there. That has a looks like an Antarctic patch on it. Yes, Antarctic patch.
It actually says an Antarctic cold weather clothing, which I'm guessing is what they based the suits off of for Hoth.
Some of the other models that were on display is a pretty good size X-Wing, probably 5-foot wingspan.
An exhibit that comes in the fall, it's called Videotopia. And it's all about arcade games. It's all about arcade. That's why we had it right after this, because we knew we'd get people to come back.
Man.
It's all about arcade games and the genesis of arcade games and how they started, and you know where we are today, and the engineering and science behind making arcade games. I mean, it's got Pac-Man, it's got Galaga, it's got Frogger, it's got, you know, the very first arcade game ever made. So it's going to be cool.
Right.
Yes, we'll have to start saving again. True. Some of the other models that were on display was the Star Destroyer, like I said, the Tantive 5, the Naboo Royal Starship. So there's a lot of models that everybody can look at and enjoy viewing. The Millennium Falcon Experience is actually in a separate section. It's in the Wind Tunnel Exploring Flight and Design Hallway. So it's a little separated out from the rest of the exhibit.
It would be $3 to get into it.
And it's kind of basically a full mock-up. Looks like Bose has helped sponsoring this for the sound systems. And it's a mock-up of the cockpit area of the Millennium Falcon that you can walk into. But again, like Matt said, this one is a extra priced exhibit. It is a $3 experience per person. We are at the Millennium Falcon Experience. When you come up to it, they have a station where you would have to purchase your ticket. Like we said, it's $3. What we have here is pretty much the hallway of the Millennium Falcon that would lead from either the cockpit, but from the entry point coming in, and then from like where the lounge area is at, where they play in the chess, they would come in that direction, and then you take a hard left into the cockpit area. And the cockpit, it's a little dark, so you have to watch your step a little bit.
Welcome aboard the Millennium Falcon. I'm Anthony Daniels. You probably know me better as C-3PO Human Cyborg Relations. Well, I have finally secured the keys to the Falcon, and I'm delighted to announce I'll be your captain today. Oh, wow, that was close. Best be on our way. Yes, R2, of course you can be the co-pilot. Let's leave the Star Wars galaxy behind and see what's really out there.
Turns out pretty good. That was pretty cool.
When you actually go into the cockpit, you have four seats that you can sit into. It's designed to look like the Millennium Falcon cockpit. You have the windows that are not actually have glass in them, but a projection screen. The actual ride, if you want to call it a ride, does not actually move. But because of the motion of the screen and the dips and turns of the imagery, it does give you that illusion of moving. It'd be kind of like it at an IMAX when you're sitting in your chair and they have like a plane that's flying and you go dip and move and the camera angles are moving, so that gives you that illusion of moving as well. And that's basically the same type of technology that's used in the Millennium Falcon experience. There's one part of the exhibit that most people might actually miss if they don't know about it. Is when you come through the, when you purchase your tickets, you take an immediate left to the Boeing Dome Theater and Planetarium. They have a person's individual collection of movie posters of Star Wars, variety of posters, even foreign posters. They have some in the upper hallway around the dome, and then they are also downstairs in the lower portion of the dome. So don't forget that part of the experience as well. The posters are owned by Paul Wilson. He was nice enough to loan them these posters. So if you come to the exploration place, be sure to stop and check this out. He also has a website, it looks like, or there is a website of additional movie posters that you can view at StarWarsMoviePoster.com. So if you're interested in seeing even additional posters, you can go to that website. That, again, is StarWarsMoviePoster.com.
One of the interesting things about the posters is, for anybody that doesn't know, was the original title for Return of the Jedi was Revenge of the Jedi, which was changed before the movie was released because a Jedi would not get revenge. The poster is considered pretty rare poster. It also has Luke with a red lightsaber and Darth Vader with a blue lightsaber, which anybody that watches the movie would know that that is actually backwards from what a Sith and a Jedi would actually have. So that's an actual pretty rare poster. Some of these I have seen. Some of these I have never seen poster-wise. Really, yeah. There's an Ewok Adventures one, an Empire Strikes Back one that I have never seen. Some of the others I have seen. I haven't seen the one-year-old poster ever before. Original figurines in it. This is definitely, and this is actually in the hallway that leads into the dome. So I don't know if it's open for everyone to see or if you actually have to have a ticket into the dome to actually be able to come in and see this. But it is really, really cool to see this collection of posters.
Looks like the Empire Strikes Back poster that Matt was talking about is for the radio drama. And it actually says it's a Ralph McQuarrie image. So it has Dagobah with Yoda looking up at a bird-type creature and Yoda right outside his hut. That was the interesting poster that Matt was pointing out besides the Revenge of the Jedi poster. When you're in the IMAX dome, the ones that are upstairs are primarily the English released posters. The ones that are down the stairs, they are actually the primarily the English released posters. The ones that are down the stairs, they are actually the foreign movie posters. So if you're interested in seeing what some of the other countries had for posters to advertise for Star Wars, it'd be neat to come down here and see what they have.
We hope you enjoyed this audio tour of Wichita, Kansas's Exploration Places exhibit of Star Wars, Where Science Meets Imagination. And we hope you join us for our regular episodes. Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.